The story that Brenda has read for us is first and foremost the story, a story of the resurrection of Jesus who had died, rising from the dead and appearing again to his disciples. If it were enough for Jesus to have died on the cross, that would have been the end of the story. He did not ascend to heaven from the cross, but rather God raised him from the dead so that we might not be in our sins any longer. It was an affirmation that all that Jesus had done in his life mattered, and that life and his body mattered to God and to God's purposes. And so God raised him from the dead. Is it an affirmation for our lives that everything that we do in Jesus' name and for God's glory is meant for eternal purposes? And the resurrection is an affirmation of our bodies and how we live this life. But this story also tells us something about, or speaks to, something of our own experience in life. Or maybe it speaks to two groups of people in particular. We have people who have a very clear sense of God's presence and of Jesus' presence in their lives, but we have many of us who have no sense of God's experience, of God's presence in their lives. This passage helps both groups of people identify the experiences they have in life of God. It helps us understand God's activity and presence across time. It meets both of these groups of people and gives them explanatory power for life. There were two people on a journey to Emmaus. It was the third day since Jesus, their teacher and friend, had been arrested and executed by crucifixion. But a few of the women in their circle of friends claimed that they had been to Jesus' tomb and that it was empty and that they had seen him alive. And now, two of these friends were on the road to Emmaus, talking about all that had happened, and a stranger joined them on the road. Now Luke lets us in on the secret that it was Jesus, but that somehow his friends were not able to recognize him. Cheryl this morning told me that she got in the car, and she hasn't been feeling well for a while. You can keep her in your prayers. But she got in her car this morning, and she was looking around for her breakfast, and it wasn't there. It was gone. She'd left it. But she wanted to get to church, so she headed out. She texted Mark. She called Mark and said, "I've left it behind. I can't see it anywhere. Could you please just put it in the fridge for me?" She got to Tim Hortons, got some breakfast, put the breakfast down, and there was the breakfast that she had packed. It had been, she said, "It was kept from my eyes." How was it possible that they did not recognize Jesus? I don't know. But somehow their eyes were kept from recognizing that Jesus. Jesus walked with them on their journey, and then he joined them as they sat down together to eat. And all along they are kept from seeing Jesus. But all along, we find out at the end, all along their hearts knew who it was that was speaking to them. This is as true today as it has ever been. Jesus walks with each one of us and indeed is therefore alongside every human being in their journey. It is the testimony of the church that very few have the chance to physically see Jesus. And yet we hear testimonies, even today, of Jesus appearing to people. But all along, there are moments when people know in their hearts that Jesus is there. For those of us who long to know God, those of us who long to be near to God and to see God, we listen to those old stories from the Old Testament with just a twinge of jealousy. What would it have been like to have been there, to see God part the waters,
to see a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The psalmist has that same longing, that same wishful prayer that we heard, that we read together. The clouds poured out water. The skies thundered. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea. And for all of that, the psalmist concludes, your footprints were unseen. For all of the drama in that story, for all of the ways that God's power seems so undeniably at work, even then, God remained unseen. On the journey of life, I think it is all people who always have had moments when they recognize a presence with them and near them. Moments where something happens. An uncanny coincidence. I stepped out of my street to talk to another neighbor, and in that moment I look over and I see Toby and Clement in a pile of suitcases, and I said to Tasha, do you think we should go say hi? Moments when something happens inside us. A new inner strength. A new sense of peace and comfort from where? What are some of the experiences that you can think of? Feel free to share something. Some moment that what it's been like, if you don't want to say a specific, if you don't want to tell the whole story, just in one word, what was God's presence in your life? What has it been?
Change of direction.
Safety, yes. Yeah. Safety and refuge, yeah. Oh, yeah. Comforting presence when we've lost someone. Sorry, I'm repeating these for Zoom. I'll remember this time. We have prayed for people in this church and they have been healed. I know from some of your stories what it meant when you understood that you were forgiven thanks to Jesus and the burden that was lifted. Visions that people have had. An inner voice of correction. And most of all, love. A love that we cannot put into words, that is unlike anything else we experience in this life. In all of these experiences, there is some kind of communication. Something where we sense that we are communicating not with a generic force, but another being. A being that has a personhood, that has a will, that is trying to speak to us. Others speak of an ache that is awoken in them, a longing. They sense there is more. Now, perhaps this is not everyone, but I have yet to meet the person that if you just scratch the surface, they do all have some experience like this. And yet at the exact same time, all of us know what it is like not to see God, not to see Jesus. And perhaps we have even said, where are you? It is when we consider all of that experience that we turn to this story of the journey to Emmaus and see how accurate a description it is of how Jesus is both seen and unseen in people's lives. Many have observed that all of the spiritual explanations that are offered all around the world that try to capture these experiences, that of all of those explanations, it is only the God of the Jewish and Christian scriptures that explain that there is a being, a person, who seeks people out, who walks with them, who speaks to them, who comforts them, who is a refuge for them, who forgives them, who empowers them, and yet almost all the time remains unseen. It is only the Jewish and Christian scriptures that from beginning to end teach that human beings were meant to know God, that we were created to live with God. It tells us that one day we will live with God, and all of this explains the unpleasant feeling we have in this moment of seeming separation from God. But at the same time, it explains that sense we have that Jesus is walking beside us. These stories best explain our experiences in life. These are personal experiences in my life, in the lives of all people. And they involve us and someone else that we cannot see. But it is our conviction that these experiences, that people who point to these experiences and say, Jesus is alive and walking with me, that these people who say that are not lying or deceived or confused or superstitious or naive or simple. They are speaking the truth, and it is the most coherent and accurate explanation that we have yet discovered. Now, maybe you would say, I have never experienced what you are talking about. Maybe it's not for me, we might conclude. Or maybe we even begin to doubt that anyone has experienced these things. But I have been walking through scriptures to show that from beginning to end, this was God's intention for us. This is how we are made to walk with God, to see God, to know God. And until that day that has come to fulfillment, we will sense some sense that things are not right, that there's something missing. Emmaus teaches us one thing that we can't do about this sense of God's absence, and a few things we can do. The people who were traveling to Emmaus did some things that helped them recognize Jesus, but there was one thing that they could not control. What was it they couldn't control? God as a being, as a person, someone with personhood, with will, cannot be controlled or predicted. It is God's choice how and when he will let his presence be known. We cannot promise to one another, and we cannot promise to others, we cannot promise to ourselves how and when Jesus will let us see him. We can promise who Jesus is, and that he is faithful and good, that he is always there with us, that he is always walking at our side. This week, a few of us were meeting to discuss Learning for Life, and we got onto this topic, and Dell used the metaphor of going to sleep, that we can't exactly control when exactly we will fall asleep, but we can give ourselves the best chance to fall asleep. You can't say, 10 o'clock, 8 hours, starting now, and throw your head down. At least, not many of us can. I've never met anyone who can. No, at first, maybe you toss and turn and pound your pillow, or you try and do all the things you do to get ready. And worst case scenario for many of us as we get older, you wake up in the middle of the night and for the love of heaven and earth, we cannot get back to sleep. You can't force it or will it. You can only do things that might help you get back to sleep. And then it comes. In the same way, we cannot dictate when Jesus makes himself known in our lives. But we can put ourselves in the best possible situation where we meet Jesus and hear his voice and realize that He is with us and recognize that He is there. What can we do? There are four things I want to quickly go over. Jesus said, "Oh, you slow of heart to believe." And the disciples said, "Weren't our hearts burning within us as He opened the Scriptures?" What can we do? Be quick of heart to believe. As you read the Scriptures, as you open the Bible, be quick to believe the promises that God speaks to you through them. Trust the Scriptures. Believe what the prophets and the law and the writings say. And as you read, let your hearts burn within you. As you open the Scriptures, ask for God's mercy, that the Bible would not just be these words, but that you would hear God speak to you in exactly what is going on in your life, and that your heart, by God's mercy, might burn within you, that you might know what that means. As you read the Bible, read it like food. The second thing we can do is look at those words. It was when they were together that their eyes were opened. Luke makes a point of this throughout both his gospel and the Acts, that it is as the people gather together that Jesus is in their presence. Jesus makes this promise, "When two or three are gathered together, I will be in your midst." We tend to think of our spiritual life as something personal and solitary. We look for mystical moments on our own and think of them as very private affairs, forgetting all the while that so many of the key moments in our lives have been through times when we were together with other people. How many of people can testify to that moment at camp when they just, everyone knew together that God was there and at work? A time when IVCF group was gathered together and it was so obvious that God was at work. In Bible college when you were praying together, those evening services of testimonies, when you have gathered with others with prayer, when others were doing Bible study and something came alive, when you were at the Saturday lunch or somewhere else serving as a group and you just knew that God was at work in some powerful way in this moment, when you were on a missions trip. These were all these moments that when you were together, you knew that God was present, that Jesus was with you. Do not give up gathering together in service and in prayer and in worship. And Luke says, "He was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." Again, throughout all of the Gospel according to Luke and all of the Acts of the Apostles, repeatedly, Luke emphasizes the role that breaking the bread had in the lives of this gathered group, that they knew Jesus' presence in a special way in that moment. Next week, when we gather for communion, as you receive the bread, as you receive the cup, ask by God's mercy that you might know that Jesus Himself is there with you. And finally, they urged Him, "Stay with us." When the moment comes, slow down. It's rare. Linger in it. Enjoy it. It is a gift from God when we are granted those rare moments of undeniably knowing that Jesus is there with you, with us. Annabelle has said she has begun to do this practice before and after morning prayer, showing up a little bit early to be still, and then afterwards when we say goodbye, lingering, just enjoying the moment. When you recognize God's presence, slow down. As we spoke with Clement and Toby this week, Clement said, as he shared a little bit, just how important he thought it was for his children to know that God is there, that God is the source of direction and comfort. When good things come, that it is from God, and when tough times come, that they know that they can rely on God. And he said, if you don't have that, they will fill it with something else instead. There's some need, there's some sense that there is a presence. And if we don't identify it to one another and to the world, people will fill it with some other words and some other thing to seek after. whether you have never known that Jesus is walking with you, or whether it has been a long time, whether whatever you have experienced, how little or how great, you have not reached the end of knowing God. We are talking about the being without beginning or without ending, without any limit. As a finite person, no matter how powerful an experience you've had, there is more. And if you are just starting, if you've never had that, don't fear, but trust in God's goodness. Trust that if you pray for this, God will not bring you a stone or a snake, but will answer your prayer and meet you and fill you with the Spirit and assure you of His love. I cannot help but of 1 Peter, even though you have not seen Jesus, you love Him. And we have the faith, the hope of 1 John, that one day we will see Jesus with our own eyes, and when we do, we will be made like Him. Amen.